Chapter 43. May be true, that the divine justice ought to have the glory of all those discoveries and confessions, yet is as certain that providence, which ordinarily works by the hands of nature, makes use here of the same natural causes to produce those extraordinary effects. I could give several remarkable instances of this in my long conversation with crime and with criminals. I knew one fellow that, while I was in prison in Newgate, was one of those they called then night flyers. I know not what other word they may have understood it by since, but he was one who by connivance, was admitted to go abroad every evening, when he played his pranks, and furnished those honest people they call thief-catchers with business, to find out the next day, and restore for a reward, what they had stolen the evening before. This fellow was as sure to tell in his sleep all that he had done, and every step he had taken, what he had stolen, and where, as sure as if he had engaged to tell it waking, and that there was no harm or danger in it, and therefore he was obliged, after he had been out, to lock himself up, or be locked up by some of the keepers, that had him in fee, that nobody should hear him. But, on the other hand, if he had told all the particulars, and given a full account of his rambles and success, to any comrade, any brother thief, or to his employers, as I may justly call them, then all was well with him, and he slept as quietly as other people. As the publishing this account of my life, is for the sake of the just moral of every part of it, and for instruction, caution, warning, and improvement to every reader, so this will not pass, I hope, for an unnecessary digression concerning some people being obliged to disclose the greatest secrets either of their own or other people's affairs. Under the certain oppression of this weight upon my mind, I labored in the case I have been naming, and the only relief I found for it was to let my husband into so much of it as I thought would convince him of the necessity there was for us to think of settling in some other part of the world. And the next consideration before us was, which part of the English settlements we should go to. My husband was a perfect stranger to the country, and had not yet so much as a geographical knowledge of the situation of the several places. And I, that, till I wrote this, did not know what the word geographical signified, had only a general knowledge from long conversation with people that came from, or went to several places, but this I knew, that Maryland, Pennsylvania, East, and West Jersey, New York, and New England lay all north of Virginia, and that they were consequently all colder climates, to which for that very reason, I had an aversion. For that as I naturally loved warm weather, so now I grew in 2 years I had a stronger inclination to shun a cold climate. I therefore considered of going to Caroline, which is the only southern colony of the English on the continent of America, and hither I proposed to go, and the rather, because I might with great ease come from thence at any time, when it might be proper to inquire after my mother's effects, and to make myself known enough to demand them. With this resolution I proposed to my husband our going away from where we was, and carrying all our effects with us to Caroline, where we resolved to settle, for my husband readily agreed to the first part, viz. That was not at all proper to stay where we was, since I had assured him we should be known there, and the rest I effectually concealed from him. But now I found a new difficulty upon me. The main affair grew heavy upon my mind still, and I could not think of going out of the country without somehow or other making inquiry into the grand affair of what my mother had done for me. Nor could I with any patience bear the thought of going away, and not make myself known to my old husband, brother, or to my child, his son. Only I would fain have had this done without my new husband having any knowledge of it, or they having any knowledge of him, or that I had such a thing as a husband. I cast about innumerable ways in my thoughts, how this might be done. I would gladly have sent my husband away to Caroline with all our goods, and have come after myself, but this was impracticable. He would never stir without me, being himself perfectly unacquainted with the country, and with the methods of settling there or anywhere else. Then I thought we would both go first with part of our goods, and that when we were settled I should come back to Virginia and fetch the remainder. But even then I knew he would never part with me, and be left there to go on alone. The case was plain. He was bred a gentleman, and by consequence, was not only unacquainted, but indolent, and when we did settle, would much rather go out into the woods with his gun, which they call their hunting, and which is the ordinary work of the Indians, and which they do as servants. I say, he would rather do that than attend the natural business of his plantation. These were therefore difficulties insurmountable, and such as I knew not what to do in. I had such strong impressions on my mind about discovering myself to my brother, formerly my husband, that I could not withstand them, and the rather, because it ran constantly in my thoughts, that if I did not do it while he lived, I might in vain endeavor to convince my son afterward that I was really the same person, and that I was his mother, and so might both lose the assistance and comfort of the relation, and the benefit of whatever it was my mother had left me. And yet, on the other hand, I could never think it proper to discover myself to them in the circumstances I was in, as well relating to the having a husband with me, as to my being brought over by a legal transportation as a criminal. On both which accounts it was absolutely necessary to me to remove from the place where I was, and come again to him, as from another place and in another figure. Upon those considerations, I went on with telling my husband the absolute necessity there was of our not settling in Piamac River, at least that we should be presently made public there, whereas if we went to any other place in the world, we should come in with as much reputation as any family that came to plant, that, as it was always agreeable to the inhabitants to have families come among them to plant, who brought substance with them, either to purchase plantations, or begin new ones, so we should be sure of a kind, agreeable reception, and that without any possibility of a discovery of our circumstances. I told him in general too, that as I had several relations in the place where we were, and that I durst not now let myself be known to them, because they would soon come into a knowledge of the occasion and reason of my coming over, which would be, to expose myself to the last degree, so I had reason to believe that my mother, who died here, had left me something, and perhaps considerable, which it might be very well worth my while to inquire after. But that this too could not be done without exposing us publicly, unless we went from hence, and then, wherever we settled, I might come, as it were, to visit and to see my brother and nephews, make myself known to them, claim and inquire after what was my due, be received with respect, and at the same time, have justice done me with cheerfulness and goodwill. Whereas, if I did it now, I could expect nothing but with trouble, such as exacting it by force, receiving it with curses and reluctance, and with all kinds of affronts, which he would not perhaps bear to see, that in case of being obliged to legal proofs of being really her daughter, I might be at loss, be obliged to have recourse to England, and it may be, to fail at last, and so lose it, whatever it might be. With these arguments, and having thus acquainted my husband with the whole secret so far as was needful of him, we resolved to go and seek a settlement in some other colony, and at first thoughts, Caroline was the place we pitched upon. In order to this, we began to make inquiry for vessels going to Carolina, and in a very little while got information that on the other side the bay, as they call it, namely, in Maryland, there was a ship which came from Carolina, laden with rice and other goods, and was going back again thither, and from thence to Jamaica, with provisions. On this news we hired a sloop, to take in our goods, and taking, as it were, a final farewell of Piamac River, we went with all our cargo over to Maryland. This was a long and unpleasant voyage, and my spouse said it was worse to him than all the voyage from England, because the weather was but indifferent, the water rough, and the vessel small and inconvenient. In the next place, we were full 100 miles up Piamac River, in a part which they call Westmoreland County, and as that river is by far the greatest in Virginia, and I have heard say it is the greatest river in the world, that falls into another river, and not directly into the sea, so we had base weather in it, and were frequently in great danger. For though we were in the middle, we could not see land on either side for many leagues together. Then we had the great river or bay of Chesapeake to cross, which is where the river Piamac falls into it, near 30 miles broad, and we entered more great vast waters whose names I know not, so that our voyage was full 200 miles, in a poor, sorry sloop, with all our treasure, and if any accident had happened to us, we might at last have been very miserable. Supposing we had lost our goods, and saved our lives only, and had then been left naked and destitute, and in a wild strange place not having one friend or acquaintance in all that part of the world. The very thought of it gives me some horror, even since the danger is past. Well, we came to the place in 5 days sailing, I think they call it Phillips Point. And behold, when we came thither, the ship bound to Carolina was loaded and gone away, but 3 days before. This was a disappointment. But, however, I, that was to be discouraged with nothing, told my husband, that since we could not get passage to Caroline, and that the country we was in was very fertile and good, we would, if he liked of it, see if we could find out anything for our tomb where we was, and that if he liked things we would settle here. We immediately went on shore, but found no conveniences just at that place, either for our being on shore, or preserving our goods on shore, but was directed by a very honest Quaker, whom we found there, to go to a place about 60 miles east, that is to say, nearer the mouth of the bay, where he said he lived, and where we should be accommodated, either to plant, or to wait for any other place, to plant in that might be more convenient. And he invited us with so much kindness and simple honesty, that we agreed to go, and the Quaker himself went with us. Here we bought us 2 servants, viz. An English woman servant just come on shore from a ship of Liverpool, and a Negro man servant, things absolutely necessary for all people that pretended to settle in that country. This honest Quaker was very helpful to us, and when we came to the place that he proposed to us, found us out a convenient storehouse for our goods, and lodging for ourselves and our servants. And about 2 months or thereabouts afterwards, by his direction, we took up a large piece of land from the governor of that country, in order to form our plantation, and so we laid the thoughts of going to Caroline wholly aside, having been very well received here, and accommodated with a convenient lodging till we could prepare things, and have land enough cleared, and timber and materials provided for building us a house, all which we managed by the direction of the Quaker. So that in 1 year's time we had nearly 50 acres of land cleared, part of it enclosed, and some of it planted with tobacco, though not much. Besides, we had garden ground and corn sufficient to help supply our servants with roots and herbs and bread. And now I persuaded my husband to let me go over the bay again, and inquire after my friends. He was the willinger to consent to it now, because he had business upon his hands sufficient to employ him, besides his gun to divert him, which they call hunting there, and which he greatly delighted in. And indeed we used to look at one another, sometimes with a great deal of pleasure, reflecting how much better that was, not than Newgate only, but than the most prosperous of our circumstances in the wicked trade that we had been both carrying on. Our affair was in a very good posture. We purchased of the proprietors of the colony as much land for number 35 paid in ready money, as would make a sufficient plantation, to employ between 50 and 60 servants, and which, being well improved, would be sufficient to us, as long as we could either of us live. And as for children, I was past the prospect of anything of that kind. But our good fortune did not end here. I went, as I have said, over the bay, to the place where my brother, once a husband, lived. But I did not go to the same village where I was before, but went up another great river, on the east side of the river Piamac, called Rappahannock River, and by this means, came on the back of his plantation, which was large, and by the help of a navigable creek, or little river, that ran into the Rappahannock, I came very near it. I was now fully resolved to go up point blank to my brother husband, and to tell him who I was, but not knowing what temper I might find him in, or how much out of temper rather, I might make him by such a rash visit, I resolved to write a letter to him first, to let him know who I was, and that I was come not to give him any trouble upon the old relation, which I hoped was entirely forgot, but that I applied to him as a sister to a brother, desiring his assistance in the case of that provision which our mother, at her decease, had left for my support, and which I did not doubt, but he would do me justice in, especially considering that I was come thus far to look after it. I said some very tender, kind things in the letter about his son, which I told him he knew to be my own child, and that as I was guilty of nothing in marrying him, any more than he was in marrying me, neither of us having then known our being at all related to one another, so I hoped he would allow me the most passionate desire of once seeing my one and only child, and of showing something of the infirmities of a mother, in preserving a violent affect for him, who had never been able to retain any thought of me one way or other. I did believe that, having received this letter, he would immediately give it to his son to read, I having understood his eyes being so dim, that he could not see to read it. But it fell out better than so, for as his sight was dim, so he had allowed his son to open all letters that came to his hand for him, and the old gentleman being from home, or out of the way when my messenger came, my letter came directly to my son's hand, and he opened and read it. He called the messenger in, after some little stay, and asked him where the person was who gave him the letter. The messenger told him the place, which was about 7 miles off, so he bid him stay, and ordering a horse to be got ready, and 2 servants, away he came to me with the messenger. Let any one judge the consternation I was in, when my messenger came back, and told me the old gentleman was not at home, but his son was come along with him, and was just coming up to me. I was perfectly confounded, for I knew not whether it was peace or war, nor could I tell how to behave. However, I had but a very few moments to think, for my son was at the heels of the messenger, and coming up into my lodgings, asked the fellow at the door something. I suppose it was, for I did not hear it so as to understand it, which was the gentlewoman that sent him, for the messenger said, "There she is, sir," at which he comes directly up to me, kisses me, took me in his arms, and embraced me with so much passion that he could not speak, but I could feel his breast heave and throb like a child that cries, but sobs, and cannot cry it out. I can neither express nor describe the joy that touched my very soul when I found, for it was easy to discover that part, that he came not as a stranger, but as a son to a mother, and indeed as a son who had never before known what a mother of his. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.